Shalom Aleichem, this is Rabbi Kovacs, and for Dalid Tishrei, Mishneh Yomi is holding in Chapter 1 of Megillah, Mishneh 11, which happens to be the last Mishneh, the last of the famous Ein Bein Mishnayot, comparing related areas in Jewish law. So Mishneh 11 draws this amazing comparison, Ein Bein Shiloh L'Yerushalayim. There's no difference between Shiloh and Jerusalem. Elisha b'Shiloh, in Shiloh, ochlin kodshim kalim, you could eat offerings of lesser degree of sanctity, u'maiser sheni, and the second tithe, b'chola roe, anywhere you could see Shiloh. Explain in a moment. Yerushalayim lifnei menachoma. Yerushalayim, you could eat these items inside the wall of the old city, the ancient city of Jerusalem. So Shiloh is about 20 miles north of Yerushalayim on Highway 60. There's actually a modern settlement of Shiloh, right next to the ancient site of Shiloh. And this is where the Mishkan was set up. The tabernacle was erected there, not just the tents, but they actually put up stone walls around it in ancient times. And this was actually during the first 400 years that our ancestors were in the land of Israel. Actually, the first 14 years, the Mishkan was set up at Gilgal. And after those first 14 years, it was set up in Shiloh and made to be a sort of a quasi-permanent structure. It was there for 369 years, so the Am Yisrael was going to be Ole Regel, was going, for Sukkot, going for Pesach to Shiloh. That's where famously Chana had her tefillah at Mishkan Shiloh. After the Plishtim, the Philistines, attacked the Mishkan, and Eli was the last Kohen to serve there, he died as a result of the shock of hearing the Mishkan was attacked. The Aron Kodesh was stolen by the Philistines. After that, the Mishkan was moved to Nov and then Givon, and then after that was taken to Yerushalayim and the temple was built. Now in this Mishnah, we talk about Maaser Sheni, Kodshim Kalim could be eaten, but anywhere you could see the Mishkan. So there, it's a slightly hilly area. So if you're up on a hillside, but you can see the Mishkan from your hillside, you could go ahead and eat, your Karban Pesach and the Maaser Sheni. You could eat it wherever you could see it. I've heard from people who've spoken to archaeologists who have worked at the site of ancient Shiloh, and they say there's an interesting observation. There's a lot of broken earthenware vessels, ancient earthenware broken into shards, on all of the hills that surround where Mishkan Shiloh would have been, where they could see it. But on the other side of the hill, where you can't see Mishkan Shiloh, no broken shards. Now, the reason for that is this Mishnah, that they could eat their kodshim kalim, such as their karban pesach, their shlamim, offerings that they brought, they could consume parts of the meat, they could eat that wherever they could see the Mishkan. Now what happens is when you cook your karban, you cook an offering, the sacrificial meat, in a ceramic pot, an earthenware vessel, that absorbs the taste of the offering, and there's a time limit for offerings. So after the time limit, not only can any leftovers not be consumed, psulina, but also the utensils you use to cook it in cannot be used anymore. They've absorbed the forbidden taste of expired sacrificial offerings. They have to be broken. And this is why the areas around Mishkan Shiloh, ancient Mishkan Shiloh, archaeologists found many, many broken ancient kalim, but outside of that area, they did not. The Mishnah continues, V'chan v'chan, in both places, Shiloh and Jerusalem with the temple, Kodshei Kodshim, the higher degree of sanctity, such as a Karban Chatas, only eaten by male Kohanim, Ne'acholim, these have to be eaten, Lifnim Ne'acholim, within the curtains, meaning within the wall of the Shiloh complex, or within the wall of the temple in Jerusalem. And this is distinct from Kodshim Kolim, such as a Pesach, where the Pesach could be eaten in the entire city of Jerusalem, as we mentioned in Mishnah Pesachim, or in the case of Shiloh, anywhere you could see the Mishkan. Now, the Mishkan concludes this chapter with an interesting comparison. Kedushat Shiloh yesh achrega heter. The sanctity of Mishkan Shiloh had a heter after it. This refers to what we learned yesterday in Mishnah 10, the heter of a bama, a bamas yachid, a bama katana, a private altar. So after the 369 years that the Mishkan was operational in Shiloh, it was in Nov and Givon for about 57 years total. During that time, a private altar could be used to bring certain karbanot, as we discussed yesterday. The Kedushat Yerushalayim, but the sanctity of Jerusalem, Ein Achareha Heter. There's no allowance after that to bring offerings anywhere else except in that exact spot of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, in the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yud, and it's also brought in other places throughout Shas, this debate is a very important debate, comes up and cited in many places. Our sages discuss is the first sanctity when Joshua and Am Yisrael came in and conquered and divided the land. Did that sanctity last, or was it interrupted by the Babylonian exile? And then Ezra came and re-sanctified with a new sanctity. And it's very relevant in terms of mitzvot like Shemitah that depend on the sanctity of the land. But there's an amazing Rambam who talks about the sanctity of the land of Israel is one thing, and the sanctity of Jerusalem is a higher level entirely. So when you get the chance to open a Rambam Mishneh Torah, Yad HaChazakah, so in the laws of Beit HaBechira, Beit HaBechira means the chosen house, in Beit HaBechira chapter 6, halacha number 16, he says amazing thing about Jerusalem. The Rambam, he says, why do I hold that the original sanctification of the temple of Jerusalem is eternal, is unbreakable? Lefi, because Shekidusha HaMikdash V'Yerushalayim, the sanctity of the temple and of Jerusalem, the entire city, Mipnei Shechina. It comes through Shechina, the divine presence. Ushechina Eina Betela. Shechina can never be nullified, no matter what conquest or occupation or political situation is going on at the time. So the Rambam contrasts this to the conquest of the land under Joshua, the settlement is under Ezra. These things create sanctity, but the sanctity of Jerusalem, of the temple, is created through the presence of Hashem being there, through man and God meeting at that place. Again, that's the Rambam, Maimonides, in the laws of Beit HaBechira, chapter 6. So let's go on to chapter 2 in Mishnayot Megillah. Hakori at the Megillah Lemafreya. Someone reads a Megillah out of order. Lo Yatza. He has not fulfilled the mitzvah. He's not done the deed. Kara Alpeh. He read it by heart. He had it memorized. Or Kara Targum. He read it in translation. Bechol Lashon. In any other language. Lo Yatza. He has not done the mitzvah. Aval. But there's an exception about translations. Korin Otala Lo Azot. You could read it. You could read the translation to people who speak that language, belaws in that particular language that they are fluent in. The Haloez, and someone who speaks a foreign language, Sheshama Ashurit, he heard it recited in Ashurit. Now, Ashurit is the name of the script that the Megillah is written in, that the Sefer Torah is written in, meaning he heard it in Hebrew out of a Hebrew Megillah, Yatza. He has fulfilled the mitzvah. Maybe he doesn't understand every single word, but enough people understand the Hebrew words, the Hebrew text of the Megillah, that he can clarify any words he might not know. Yashar Koach, and be well.